The following programming is sponsored by Carol Captus Holloway Doing Business's Home Improvement Fix and Facts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Well, good Tuesday morning. Welcome to our house here at WWDB. It's a beautiful day, and it is probably the only good day this week. We're supposed to have rain for the rest of the week, so get out and enjoy it. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and we are live from the WWDB studios. You can listen to me on their podcast right now or later today. You can listen on Odyssey. You can listen on 860 AM radio, and you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook. We have a packed show again today. So please stay tuned and listen. And if you miss any information, go back and listen to it again or for the first time, whatever you are doing. About 3 weeks ago, we had Aris Papadopoulos on, who was talking about disasters, environmental disasters around the country, around the world, and what you can do to protect your home and your property and your town. I highly advise you to go back and listen to that show. It was a really good show. He was knowledgeable and really gave our listeners some good input on shoring up their homes and their properties, especially with the weather being so unpredictable. As you hear me say, Mother Nature is not happy. She is not happy, and you want to do the best that you can do to protect your investment, your assets, your home. With that being said, I want to welcome our new sponsor to the show, LP Smart Siding Solutions, engineered for sustainability and advanced durability. With over 20 years of exceptional performance as a full home siding solution, it's so easy to see why so many homeowners, remodelers, builders, and building professionals choose the number one brand of engineered wood siding. LP Smart Side Trim and Siding has defined durability, workability, and the longer lasting curb appeal. If you are looking to put any siding on your house, I am asking you to go to lpcorp.com. That's L as in let, P as in pie, corp.com, and check out their, click on Smart Side for Homeowners, and you will get a whole list of the different types of siding they have and why it is so important to have good siding on your home. I love their product. They are amazing. And their LP Smart Side trim and siding is designed to hold up to harsh weather and provide a home with superior resistance to the impact damage from everyday bumps and bruises to golf ball size hail and all of that good stuff. So welcome on board LP Building Solutions, as your Smart Side product is amazing. So happy to have you here. And if anybody has questions about them, reach out to me because I have a lot of information. So we have a lot to go over today. I just wanted to let people know where we stand in the world of construction materials, because that has been a question ever since the horrible COVID of 2020. They've stabilized quite a bit, but building material spending is going to continue to grow. The demand for new construction will not be the same. So let me explain that for those exposed to single family construction, building, the building material business is booming. And for those that are exposed to multifamily construction, expect a material bust, meaning that's going to slow down a little bit, but we're definitely seeing more family, single family construction. According to the Associated Builders and Contractors, the analysis of the U.S. Department of Labor Statistics Producer Price Index that was released back in February, I've been trying to get something more current, but I haven't yet. Construction material prices increased about 0.4% in March of 2024. So we are still seeing some increases, but overall the construction industry revenue has declined a little bit. So even though we're building like crazy, and even though there's like house wars going on and all that stuff, looking forward to the rest of 2024, experts expect a softer construction market with the overall growth of less than 1% during this year of 2024. So I'll be happy to take a peek at that in a couple months and see what is going on. The states with the most construction going on right now are Texas, California, Florida, New York, and Pennsylvania. So there is a lot of building, and I am telling you, it is one of the most rewarding jobs that are out there. It's a high paying job. Once you learn your trade, there's a lot of companies that are willing to train you. There are schools where you can go, whether it's plumbing, electrical, bricklaying, carpentry. Just think of everything that goes into a house, and you will get a really good idea of what is out there pay-wise. New Jersey is one of the states that offer a pretty high average pay for construction workers in the market of about $65,000 a year. So keep that in mind. Pennsylvania is a little bit lower, but remember, it all comes with experience. The more you know, the more you learn, the more you do, the higher the pay, blah, blah, blah. So if you're looking for a job, I would highly suggest reaching out to some of the builders, construction workers, designers. Plumbing supply houses are rocking and rolling right now. And just consider where you are looking. You know, are you are you in an urban area, rural area? You know, there's still a high volume, and there are a lot of companies that start you off at more than minimum wage to be able to work in the trade. I think it's an outstanding business that you can get involved in. It's a lifetime career, and it's something that you can do forever. I think the trades are the way to go in this industry. But then again, that's my opinion. So we've had so much rain over the past couple weeks, and you know I am what they call a gutter girl. It is time to get up there and clean those gutters. You can wait till the weekend. It's Mother's Day this weekend, so it's a fine time to get the plants outside and start getting the outdoors of your house in order. Throw open the windows. You know, if you heard me talk last week, I was talking with Tom Kreitler, who came to visit us. He has a syndicated show called The Money Pit. And he was giving us some high-tech home improvements for the spring. And one of his big things was the gutters as well. I can't stress it enough to get out there and get them cleaned, get all the debris off of them, because it's not the end of the rain. So with today's show, I have a lot that I want to post. Going back to last week, we were answering some questions. And that brought me to a couple different things that I've gotten questions on. I try to answer them all in one show, but I always run out of time. One of them was going back to, I think it was probably about this time last year, we did a whole show on pressure washers, things that you should take into consideration, because a pressure washer can be really valuable to your home. It can certainly clean it up and make it look good. It can make the patios, the sidewalks, the siding on your house, the furniture, outdoor furniture, all look great. But I wanted to let people know that you can get carried away with pressure washing. I know I have. It's very important when you are using a pressure washer, whether you own your own or whether you rent one, that you use a pressure washer correctly, especially like wood siding, which is what LP Smart Solutions is, an engineered wood siding. Anyway, you have to be careful about your aim, your direction, the exterior surfaces of your house if your water pressure is set too high. If you recall, if you were listening then, I explained to you that if the water pressure is too high on a wood deck and certain surfaces, you can shred the wood. I've done it. Yes. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you are testing the pressures before you get into certain areas, especially if you're going up under the eaves of your siding, or under the soffits of your house. Because if the water pressure is too high and water gets up under the siding, it can damage your insulation, your electrical wiring, and even cause mold to grow. So be really careful. And if you have the pressure too high and you have aluminum or vinyl siding, which I hope you don't, it's not nearly as nice. You want to make sure that you have your pressure settings set properly because you could actually dent the aluminum or the vinyl. So I highly recommend if you don't know how to use a pressure washer, you go to a website and look at it and understand what to do. Another area to be really careful about, because this is the time to do it, even though we've had all this rain, it's not going to clean and power wash your house and your deck and your siding and your sidewalks and all of that stuff. Electric panels and meters that are around your house are really important. Do not pressure wash any fixtures of electricity attached to the exterior of your home or in your yard, even though they can withstand all this rain that we've had and storms and all of that. Pressure washing can force water into the cracks and crevices and cause damage and very, very expensive repairs. Another place that you should not be pressure washing right now is asphalt shingles on your home. Never pressure wash your roof if you have asphalt shingles. The water pressure strips away those little granulars that look like little pieces of stone that protect your roof. And the pressure washer, it's up in a high place. It's dangerous. So just don't be doing that. And it could knock you off balance if you're up on your roof and doing things like that. Another place not to pressure wash, I guess maybe we should call this segment, don't pressure wash these things, air conditioners. Do not pressure wash your air conditioning unit. For cleaning your air conditioning unit, the intense flow of the water can crush or bend all those little delicate fins that are in your air conditioner unit, and restrict the airflow. So make sure that you are not using the pressure washer. And if you really have to clean those little fins, these are window air conditioners, or even if they're in the wall, if they're not like a whole house system, what you want to do is be really careful cleaning those fins. I've seen them bent on my air conditioners in the past, window air conditioners, which I no longer need. Thank you very much. I'm so happy about that. But you might want to consider using like a butter knife or a vacuum or something that's really much gentler to clean the debris out of all those fins. Be really careful with pressure washers on paint on your home, especially around the base where the block is, the cylinder block around the base of your home. Usually that's stuccoed or painted over. And you want to be really careful because if the paint is cracked, it could blast it off the area. And especially if it's lead paint, don't ever, ever remove lead paint with a pressure washer. I mean, these are things that I've talked about before, but, you know, it's home improvement, fix and facts. And I have to remind people because we forget. Another thing, brick housing, if you have old mortar around the bricks, a pressure washer will damage weather brick houses and other landscaping surfaces that have any kind of mortar in them. Any of the loose materials, especially on these older buildings and older homes, will be blasted away by the pressure washing on a high setting. So it's really important, instead of using a pressure washer, to clean hard water stains off the brick by hand, with a hose, with a scrub brush, but you really need to be careful. There, you can find ways to pressure wash all of that, but the older it is, the harder it is. And there are videos out there how to pressure wash your whole home to keep it looking amazing. Also, do not pressure wash like living things. Yes. People, it's like a no-brainer, but the dumbing down of America makes me wonder where people's brains are these days. Never pressure wash people or pets or plants. Plants are living things, because the force of the water coming from a pressure washer can cause physical harm to you, your pets, and your plants. It can even penetrate your skin and will most certainly destroy your plants. Also, just a reminder, when you are pressure washing things around your house, please wear safety goggles or safety glasses to protect your eyes from the water and the shooting up of debris. You'd be surprised at how many people don't want that. Because it's really important, when you pressure wash your house, you want to make sure that you're taking care of the area, not causing harm to yourself. You want to make sure that you want areas to stay the way you want them to look, as far as being cleaned, especially pressure washing paint. It really does chip off most surfaces pretty easily. So make sure you use a low flow of water on painted items like your porch or your outdoor furniture. I have just a couple more tips for you for pressure washing before we get into the next segment of our show. But I love doing these because people just tend to forget that, this is something that you can do yourself. It is definitely a DIYer job that you can do, but be really careful when you're doing it. Excuse me. Another thing not to pressure wash, don't pressure wash windows. The high pressure can break them and give you such a huge headache. Not only the water going into the house, but the expensive replacement of windows. Instead, wash your windows the right way. We've talked about these tips here on the show about how to wash your windows on the outside and inside, what cleaners to use, using a squeegee, or just leave it to the professionals if you can't figure it out. This one amazes me, and people do this. They use pressure washers on their vehicles and their cars and their trucks. You have to be really, really careful if you are using it. I know my husband uses the pressure washer on his wheels a lot, on the chrome or the stainless steel that is there. He's very careful. He knows what he's doing. As you know, he's a contractor, carpenter, licensed and insured, so he knows what he's doing. But if you are using a high pressure power washer to clean your vehicle, it can actually cause small dents in your car and even chip the paint, which of course then can rust. So if you do use a pressure washer on your car, always set it at a very low pressure setting, and never, never attempt to use a pressure washer under the car hood, because you can do a lot of damage. Don't use a pressure washer on your outdoor light fixtures. Yep, I'm wondering if that's how some of ours got damaged, even though we're really good at it. But outdoor lighting is made to withstand the elements. It's made to withstand the rain and the snow and the wind and all of that other stuff, but it's not made for a pressure washer, because if you get any water into the cracks or crevices of your lighting, it can cause damage, and now you can find yourself with an outage and having to replace lighting in your house. I just have two more for you. What did I start the top of the show off with? Gutters. Yes, you must do them with a ladder and gloves and a bucket. Do not use a pressure washer. You can attempt it, but you're going to have to do it on a super, super low setting. I just don't think a pressure washer and a ladder go hand in hand, in my opinion, especially for us DIYers. It's so much easier to remove all the debris in your gutters by hand and then rinse it, the inside of the gutters, with a clean garden hose. Okay, so gutters, again, they can withstand rainstorms and wind usually and all of those other things, but not the extreme power of a pressure washer. So make sure that you're not doing that. And then lastly, as I said, stained wood is a big problem. A pressure washer can pull a stain right off the surface of anything that you have stained on outdoor wooden furniture. And if you have a stained deck or a painted deck, don't do a painted deck. They're disgusting. The paint, the water gets under the paint and the paint lifts. And before you know it, you have a disgusting, moldy, rotting deck. So please don't paint your deck. But if you happen to have one, or if you have a stained deck, you definitely want to be super careful with that, because the pressure washer can strip away the stain and you're going to ruin the task that you're trying to accomplish. If you intend to keep stain on wood, don't pressure wash it to keep it clean. So that the reason I did this segment is because I got a question. So I was just answering the question that I got about pressure washers. I did do a show, go back through all my podcasts. It was probably about a year ago on pressure washers, if you want more detailed information. So with that being said, we are going to take a little break here, and then we are going to come back and discuss wallpaper. I actually got a question about being able to paint over wallpaper. So after this quick commercial break, we're going to answer that question. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and we will be right back.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and it is a beautiful morning. Thank you for that. I don't even know who sings that one, TJ. Can you tell me?
The Rascals.
The Rascals. Okay, good. All right. Beautiful morning by the Rascals. It is. It's probably going to be the nicest day this week. Another question that I got, I was answering questions last week. Another question that I had gotten was, is it okay to paint over wallpaper? So I personally highly recommend that whenever you can, you remove all the wallpaper that you possibly can. There are plenty of tools out there to do it. I have done it myself. Sometimes it can be quite a chore. You can hire a professional painter if you do want to paint over it, or a wallpaper person to remove it if you don't feel that you can do it yourself. So I want to give you some tips. Oh, by the way, the great tips that I gave you about pressure washers, you can find at Family Handyman. I love that publication. I love their articles. They do the research for me and making it easy for me to share information with you. So, yes, experts say that, yes, you can paint over wallpaper if you do it right. Now, like I said, removing all your wall coverings and wallpaper before the paint can make it longer to do, because you have to remove it and then you have to do your paint and prep the walls and all of that. So there's a lot of work that goes into painting. There's a lot of prep work that goes into painting. I know I did a show on this, probably twice I've done shows on painting over the past several years, which you can always find in the archives of podcasts here at WWDB. But the work is so much harder if the existing room is covered in wallpaper, and removing old and damaged and peeling wallpaper can be extremely messy and time consuming, which is why some homeowners prefer to paint over it whenever they can. It's not always the best approach, seriously, depending on what the wallpaper looks like. If it's already way too damaged, if it's super old, if it's a textured wallpaper, you might want to remove that if possible. And it's just, okay, so let's talk about it. How hard is it to paint over wallpaper? Well, technically, wallpaper is a covering that goes on your wall that's beautiful. It's trending huge right now. I've been talking about this for the past couple years. It's probably got the biggest uptick of ever right now, wallpaper. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think everybody should have like one small wall in their house that has wallpaper. But if you're going to paint, you want to make sure that whatever is there is in excellent condition and doesn't have a whole lot of damage to it. You should never, ever paint over wallpaper if it's yellowing, if it's brittle, if there's any water damage, super important. If it's peeling, anything like that, don't want to paint over it. You want to take a good look at all the seams, says Rachel Atkins, lead interior designer at Dwellify. She says if they don't look good before you start, they definitely won't look good when you're done painting. So you'll get better results if you put in the extra work to remove the wallpaper, even if it's in good shape. But if you're going to paint over it, here's some things that you want to consider. The type of wallpaper. The type of wallpaper can really impact how well it takes paint. So vinyl and washable wallpapers are more suitable for painting than paper-based ones. And your older houses that have wallpaper are usually paper-based. You might find layers of paper. It's also important, like I said, to consider the texture, because whatever texture is on that wallpaper, even when you put a primer on the wall, is still going to come through whatever that texture is on the wallpaper. So if it has a linen finish or a burlap finish, you might want to reconsider. Highly advisable, test an area first, please, to get a better feel for how the paint will adhere to your wallpaper. Prime and paint a small, discrete area and allow it to dry. After the paint is dry, run your hands over the dried paint. I mean, seriously, observe how it looks and how it feels, and try a scratch test to see if the paint flakes off. Absolutely. I'm bringing you these tips, by the way, from Martha Stewart, because she is really good at this stuff. So invest in high quality paint. High quality paint is the best choice regardless of what you're painting. It's really important when you're painting over wallpaper. It helps conceal imperfections and make sure that it's as smooth and as even as it can be. I am a huge advocate of quality paint. I don't feel that the quality of paint that you get in the big box stores, even though they say it's this, that, and the other thing, is not the same as going to Faro and Ball, which is really expensive, by the way, like 120 gallons of gallon. A little too expensive for me, but I've spent $80 for a gallon of paint easily at Benjamin Moore, Sherwin Williams. Go to your higher quality paint stores to get paint. Though people there should have the knowledge and the experience to answer your questions. If you do go into a paint store and you are not sure, and you're talking to someone, please ask them how long they've been there. They may not have the information that you need. You might need a manager. Well, they might not have the information either. But if you have questions, please try to research it and try to get the best professional at the paint store to answer your questions for you. If you are painting wallpaper, I'm telling you right now, one coat of paint is not going to do it. You're probably going to need two, three, maybe even more coats of paint. So what I would suggest is you get a tinted primer first, a tinted primer tinted to the color of the paint that you're going to use to help seal up the walls, and then paint your walls after that. The darker the wallpaper, the harder it's going to be to cover it. The deeper the pattern on the paper, the harder it's going to be to cover it. So again, consider removing before you go painting, unless, of course, you're painting in a dark color. I know. But I can't stress enough, if the wallpaper is damaged, don't paint over it. It's got to be in really, really good condition. And honestly, my opinion on painting over wallpaper is start fresh. But if you are going to paint over wallpaper, you're going to need the typical painter materials, you know, your drop cloth, your painter's tape, your putty knife, your utility knife, your scraper, your sandpaper, your finishing drywall compound for any holes or dings or dents or anything like that, a sponge, a damp cloth. If it's oil-based paint that you're using, be careful with that. You're going to need an oil-based primer, and your paint color, your brushes, your rollers, your trays, your liners, all the typical stuff that you would need. But it's so crucial, if you are painting wallpaper, that you make sure that you are preparing for the walls to accept the paint. You want to make sure that you are prepping that those wallpapered walls first. So step number one, so easy. Look for any damaged areas that are peeling, that are loose, that are popping off. Remember, like I said, yellow and brittle and stuff like that. You want to remove them with a small putty knife or a utility scraper or sandpaper, a little bit of a sponge if the wallpaper is really hard to get off your wall. But remember, if you're having those types of issues, it's usually paper wallpaper, and that is not always the best. Again, test the area to make sure. You want to clean the paper? Yes. Make sure that the papered area is completely clean. It's just like when you're painting walls. You want to wipe down the walls first with a vinegar and water solution and get rid of all the dust and cobwebs. And the same thing with wallpaper. You want to wipe down the walls, get rid of any grease that might be in that area, because grease does travel through the home, any dust, any leftover debris, anything like that. Prepping the surface is so important before you apply the primer. So cleaning the walls, removing any dust, any sand, anything like that is best to do, better than doing nothing, even if you use just a damp cloth. I mean, you want to try to clean the walls the best that you possibly can. So once you have the wallpaper prepped and cleaned and ready, you want to make sure that the space is ready for your paint. Once you put the primer on there, you want to tape off all your areas, put your drop cloth down. You know, the typical painting things, right? Let's not be stupid about this, and don't rush the job. That's so important. People want to get it done. They want to see it. They want to know what it looks like. I guarantee you, if you rush through the job, you are going to have problems and errors. So make sure that you get all this prep done first. Like I said, high quality paint, and also look for high quality paint brushes and rollers, and make sure that when you're getting ready to put up your paint that you stir it really, really well to make sure that your first coat goes on easy. Don't go for cheap rollers. They will give you all kinds of lint and fuzz in the wall, and that's what you don't want. I have done this over and over again, and I can tell you, cheap rollers are exactly that, cheap rollers. So spend the money. This is where you want to spend the money to do a good job. when you apply the primer and the paint, like any painting job that you do, you want to apply the primer and the paint using a crosshatch or a W pattern. This ensures even coverage and minimalizes the appearance of seams and textures. You just do a great big W and then roll it out from there. I've done this process and it works. Make sure that you have a small brush for tackling like little things like edges and corners and things like that. Make sure you let the paint dry. This is whether you're just painting your home, period, or whether you're painting over wallpaper. Read the instructions on the label. Make sure that you are letting everything set before you go to apply a second coat. And based on the results, you might have to let it dry even longer if you need to apply a third coat of paint. I am telling you right now, let it cure and let it dry. If you rush the process, you can see it. You can definitely see it. But remember, like I said, if the wallpaper is too damaged, you need to remove it. And to remove it's not so hard. A wallpaper steamer will help get the wallpaper off the wall. Particularly vinyl papers, they come off pretty easily. So my recommendation is don't skip the prep work. That is the biggest part of getting your job done. Make sure that as you are painting the wallpaper, keep your eyes open for any bubbles or peeling edges as you're painting, you know, where the seams are around the edges, the tops and the bottoms. If you notice any, make sure that you smooth them out immediately, because if you don't and you go back and try to fix it, you may need to remove that section and redo the wall, which leads to a disaster. And then you're removing wallpaper with paint on it. So again, this is a project. You can, absolutely can paint over wallpaper. But like I said, don't rush. Take your time. Make sure that you wait the recommended amount between the paint and the curing time that is necessary. So, to answer that question, yes, you can do it. I don't like it. I don't think it's a great solution. But if you are that person that needs to know if you can paint over it, there's your answer. I'm going to take another commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to let you know whether you can paint over tile. Yes, who knew I'd be doing all this stuff today? Is it a good idea to paint over old tile? Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city.
And we are back. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. I swear this is the fastest hour in radio. I always have so much information. And I can never get it all out. So I'm hoping I can get it all out today. Anyway, we just talked about painting over wallpaper, and that led me to the question of, can you paint over tile? And again, I don't think it's a great idea, But if you are replacing if you don't want to replace the tile in your bathroom or kitchen and you don't have a renovation budget to be able to do it, you might want to paint over the tile. But according to Martha Stewart, full disclosure, while it's more affordable, it's only a short-term fix. As for how long your paint will last, it depends on use, abuse, and the entire process of painting it. And that is this is directly the words from Rick Watson, who is the director of product information at Sherwin-Williams. Yes, people, believe it or not, there's a customer hotline for places like Sherwin-Williams and Benjamin Moore and Farrow and Ball and the really cool painting companies that are out there. You're not going to get these answers from Home Depot or Lowe's, your big box stores. So use the customer service hotline if you have questions. That's what they're there for. They're the experts. So if you don't prep the surface properly, it can compromise the existing tile. Rick Watson, Director of Product Information at Sherwin-Williams, says. He says that you risk the paint might ultimately start flaking off, but if you're committed to the project, you're going to want to do it right. And I have Rick Watson's tips on how you can make sure that you can paint your tile properly. So the first thing is you just can't paint any tile. The materials matter. So you're going to, again, want to test. But I will tell you right now, the best contender for painting over tile is ceramic. But it has to be prepped correctly, says Watson. As for surfaces to avoid, he says stone, including marble, does not hold paint well, even when using bonding primers. So don't paint over stone or marble. Ceramic is your answer. Paint only in low moisture areas. Well, what does that mean? You want to avoid paints that are going to flake and fade and peel or blister prematurely. So choose surfaces where there isn't excessive amount of moisture. So kitchens, except for behind the kitchen sink and laundry rooms, can do pretty well with painting over tile. Watson says to avoid bathroom showers, the interior of tubs, floors, and countertops, which as we know, get drenched. And they're high traffic areas, and it wears off in pretty much no time at all. Now, I have had ceramic tile floors spray coated and bathtubs reglazed. It's called reglazing. So I've had floors and bathrooms reglazed. You want to make sure that if you are having something reglazed, it's like painting, it's like a spray paint, it's toxic. The house has to be really aired, no pets or people can be in the house. You can reglaze a tub and a floor and the tile walls in your house. It costs a pretty penny to do it, but it does look beautiful. You just want to make sure that if you are doing it, the company is reputable, you've seen pictures of their work, and you want a product guarantee against scratching or the surfaces wearing away. If you're going to do this yourself, make sure that your tiles get a really good scrubbing. I've talked about cleaning your tiles. It's something you should clean all the time. Even though they look clean, they probably still have grease if it's in the kitchen, dirt, and in the bathroom, even mold. Cleaning is one of the most important steps to being able to paint over tile. You need to thoroughly wash the areas that you plan to paint and prime and paint, and use a good cleaner, a degreaser, or an emulsifying dish soap. Emulsifying like Dawn. The Dawn dish soap, it's the savior for everything. I don't know how they got that reputation, but it definitely works. Rinse and clean and let it dry. So TJ, I'm picking up some background feedback. So I just wanted to let you know that there's something coming through. Hopefully it's just on my end and our listeners aren't hearing it. Repair any scuffs and repair any damage to any of the tiles. So here's where you can very, very, very lightly use sandpaper on the tiles. It will help the paint adhere better. So before you paint on the tiles, We want to make sure that we wipe down the tiles really clean with a damp sponge. And then if you're going to rough sand the tiles, and I mean rough sand lightly, then when you're done doing that, you want to make sure that you are washing down the tiles as well and making sure that everything is completely dry, including the grout. So it's important that you assess the tile and make repairs on the cracks and the chips and things like that that are needed. The most durable way to fix broken tile is to use a two-part epoxy filler that is paintable. So read the directions that you are looking at, the products that you are looking at to paint. So don't skip the priming step. Like wallpaper, the primer is one of the most important steps. It helps the paint adhere to the surface. And again, you have to let it cure. You have to let it dry really well before you start to paint. So very, very important. And keep the home off limits if you can for 24 hours or longer if necessary, according to what the paint manufacturers say to do in the house, because you don't want to get in there and be running water or working in the kitchen before all of that paint has cured. So these are really, really important steps that you need to follow. So ceramic paint is really the best tile to paint over. With that being said, hey, TJ, I'm still picking up some background noise. It sounds like there's people talking in the background on your end. So if you could fix that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, let me see.
So great. Thank you so much. Now, a couple other things that I want to go into that you can paint. Metal lamps can be painted. You can also paint bed frames. Those can be painted. Now, when you're doing certain things like spray paint, I love spray paint. And there are so many colors and finishes and just textures in spray paint. So if you decide to take on a project like outdoor furniture or a metal lamp or a lamp post that's outside, it's really important to be able to paint it properly and bring out the beautiful finish. If you want to make your paint look very antique-y, Rust-Oleum has some amazing products. Love the products. You know, shameless shout outs to all these people. But maybe you want to revamp your outdoor lighting, or you want to revamp a lamp that's in your house. Maybe you found something at a thrift store that you absolutely love. You can spray paint. It's a really great DIY project that's easy to do. And you can take an old lamp or an old outdoor fixture or outdoor furniture and make it look great in no time at all. You're going to need a lot of the same products that I talked about before, protective paint, painter's tape, you know, drop cloths and things like that. But one of your best friends, depending on what you're working on, is going to sound really crazy, a gigantic cardboard box, because you can put that behind the lamp. You can put it behind the post, and it keeps the paint from going everywhere. So that's a really important feature. And if you're another thing that works really well, believe it or not, is if you have an old turntable or a revolving cake stand or a lazy Susan, and you have something that's a little bit smaller, that's a really good thing to put your item on to turn it and spin it as you're painting. Please wear a protective mask and goggles when you're doing all this. It's so important. So whether you're, and this is the same thing, even if you're going to spray paint or hand paint, you know, a bed frame or a headboard or something like that, you can use the spray paint or you can paint it by hand. But what you want to do is you want to make sure that you set up the work surface properly. It's well ventilated, and particularly outside, that's really an area that I would recommend that you do it and set up, you know, save your old cardboard. If you just got a delivery of an appliance or something, save that cardboard. If you know you have some spray painting or painting projects coming up, piece of cardboard is great, rosin paper, a drop cloth, anything like that that can protect the surfaces. And make sure that you're doing this I wouldn't do it in a big, bright, sunny area because it's going to be harder to see the surfaces in the bright sun. And yes, because people don't always think, remove the lampshade, please. I don't think you want to paint over a lampshade. If you're using like a turntable or a Lazy Susan, make sure that you cover that as well so that you're not, and I mean like an old turntable that you're never using or a cake thing, make sure that you cover those surfaces as well. You can use saran wrap and really wrap everything up or tin foil or something, you know, or pieces of cloth. But you want to make sure that whatever, wherever you set it, the surface is protected, and that you want your lamp, if you're doing lamps inside your house or your areas, to be stable on their surfaces. Again, directions, directions, directions. You want to make sure that you read the label for spray paint. I'm telling you, you can do light outlets in your house, you know. I just love it. You can do handles and knobs in your house with spray paint. Just make sure you're using the right finishes and the right paint for those projects. But make sure that you read the label and stand back as far as you can from the areas that are being painted. And make sure that when you are using spray paint, you shake the can for a full minute to properly mix the paint. Very, very, very important. On goes your mask and start spraying one side of the base and then move across with even strokes. You want to go across the surface that you're painting back and forth. Do not stop moving when you are using spray paint. You want to keep going back and forth until the base of your lamp is covered with a thin coat of paint. If you're using, like I said, a Lazy Susan to spin it, do it slowly. You just want to be really careful. You want to get a light coat of paint on whatever it is that you're painting first, and then let it completely dry before you do it again. And the idea of putting cardboard, it's like making a little fort around your project, is to keep all that paint confined in the area so it's not getting all over your grass or your patio or your deck or outside. But you definitely want to keep repeating until the paint is completely dry after each coat, and then you can go back and finish your project. And make sure before you bring it in the house or if it's outside that you're not doing it on days where it can cause some problems, especially if you're doing an outside lamppost or something like that. You want to make sure that there's no rain in the forecast. If you decide that you're going to paint a lampshade, believe it or not, you can actually paint the lampshade. I personally don't like this idea, but you're going to want to use the same directions, the same process when you're painting a lampshade. Come on, people, just go buy a new one. And then just take all the tape off and reassemble and put it all back together. It's really, really easy to do. These are all DIY projects, everything from power washing to cleaning your gutters to painting different surfaces. They're all things that you can do if you take the time and do it properly. Real quick, if you're painting bed frames or a piece of furniture, you know, you want to bring it, you know, and something that's really old, give it some new life, make it cheerful. You can certainly do it. For a more modern feel and greater durability, I would suggest choosing a glossy paint. There are companies out there that will do this for you. And again, the same process, good quality paint, sandpaper, paintbrushes, you know, the area that you're doing. Again, making sure that all surfaces are completely clean when you are painting your bed frames or pieces of furniture. You really want to clean them and let everything dry in between the painting. So I'm down to my final minutes here. I just want to thank everybody for continuing to listen to our show. I appreciate that you're here. I appreciate these questions that you send me on a regular basis. Make sure you get samples of anything that you're painting. Make sure you paint the underside or a small area because paint changes color. It always does. And there's nothing like painting something and then finding out that what you did, you're not happy with. Please keep the questions coming. I love it. I love answering the questions with you. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the state of the housing market and interest rates and what you can do there to try to save some money. I also thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. We will be back next Tuesday, same place, same time. Not sure what my topic will be other than the housing market. And also, I just want to remind everybody, don't forget to listen to my other show called Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, which is on every Monday from 3 to 4 right here at WWDB. Make it a great week. Pay it forward. Do something nice for somebody. See you next week.